From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. Avian flu is continuing to spread in the United States. In fact, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, outbreaks in dairy cattle were first reported on March 25th. And then as of May 2nd, we know there are now known cases in at least 9 states. And there is a concerning new development when it comes to transmission of this virus. Dr. David Pate is the former CEO of St. Luke's Health System. He's joining us today to talk more about this and other public health issues. Hi, Dr. Pate.
Hi, Gemma.
And folks, remember, if you have a public health question for Dr. Pate, send us an email, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Okay, so Dr. Pate, we've been talking with this about this with you since the end of March. But for folks who may not, may just be getting updated right now, tell us what this strain of avian flu is.
Right. So avian flu, or technically avian influenza virus, is in some ways less of a threat to humans because we don't have the same receptor that virus uses in readily accessible places. We have it down in our lungs, but not in our upper airways. And we do have it in our eyes, so we can get infected there. But it's not, that virus isn't well adapted to transmitting to humans or from humans to other humans. Most of the infections have been people that directly deal with birds, farms, slaughterhouses, those kinds of things. But on the other hand, the reason that it is concerning, given what I just said, is this is an RNA virus. And for people that have been following this radio program for the last 4 years, you know, you've heard me talk about how RNA viruses are very prone to mutate. And What has happened is that this virus, when it does infect these people, the mortality rate has been over 50%. And so it is something to be concerned about. There's no need for panic because we still haven't identified that it's made those adaptations necessary to spread to humans on a big scale. But what is concerning is that over the last 2 years, we have seen things we haven't seen before with this virus, including spreading to way more different types of mammals than we thought even possible. Aquatic mammals, and most recently, as you mentioned, Gemma, cows. And so clearly things are evolving. This virus is behaving in ways that are different. And when another thing that listeners should have picked up by now is that the more times a virus transmits, and especially to more different types of hosts, the more opportunities for it to mutate and get to a point where it could efficiently transmit to humans.
Okay, so Dr. Pate, that first case of bird flu in Idaho was detected, I believe, end of March. It was a herd of cattle in Cache County. Now, there's an update, and this is in regards to a flock of 600 birds in Cache County. Can you talk to us about this?
Yeah, this is hot off the press. So we have been trying to figure out, because cows are not a natural host for this virus, but yet we have seen rapidly expanding infections among dairy cattle and among farms distributed far across the United States. Early on, it certainly appears that the virus, the first infection from a bird to a cow, likely happened in Texas. And we believe some of the other dairy farms across the country, including the first farm in Idaho to be affected, were related to cows that were at Texas farms being relocated back up to Idaho, and there were other states as well. However, we have been trying to figure out, well, how is it spreading from cow to cow? And what we've identified is this virus infects the udders, the mammary glands of the cow. And in fact, we found very high levels of virus in the milk that is coming out of the cows. And so the immediate concern is, well, does that pose any threat to those who consume milk? And the answer is, at this time, there appears to be no risk as long as the milk is pasteurized. But there is still significant concern about people that drink raw milk or unpasteurized milk. Then the latest concern is, I mentioned that we don't that virus uses a different receptor than what we have in our upper airways for that particular protein. But if you look at cow udders and where that virus is infecting, those cows actually have both the avian kind of receptor and the human kind of receptor. So now this is a kind of an increased concern that, given the virus's tendency to mutate and do something called a reassortment, where it swaps genes, is the infection in these cows now setting it up the opportunity to develop the capability to infect humans, because that receptor that is in our upper airways is in that cow udder. So that's the latest concern, as well as the concern that what you were mentioning at the top of the program, that now we have seen, surprisingly, not just birds transmitting the infection to cows, we now have evidence of cows transmitting it to birds. And as you say, there's a dairy farm with infected cows in Cache County, but now a backyard of 600 non-poultry birds, an infection was identified in there. And so it looks like, and we've seen this in some other states, that even if there's nearby other farms or backyard animals, that the source of infection from the dairy farm can be transmitted to these other nearby farms or backyard animals. Mm-hmm. And so, again, not need for panic, but it's every one of these steps is just kind of increasing concern.
And Dr. Pate, have we seen the same type of transmission in other states that have had these outbreaks in dairy cattle?
Yes, it appears that this has also happened in Texas and perhaps Ohio and Michigan. And I think that we're just not doing enough testing. And I think if we did more testing, we'd find out this is probably happening more commonly than we even believe.
So bottom line, you know, just for the average person, what do we need to be aware of at this point, so, when it comes to avian flu?
Yeah. So for the average person, the most important thing is, don't consume unpasteurized dairy products, whether it's unpasteurized cheese, unpasteurized milk. Those are very dangerous, actually, for a number of reasons besides just avian flu. But it is a concern with avian influenza as well. So if you're drinking pasteurized milk, if you're having cheeses that are made with pasteurized milk, you're fine. Don't worry about that. And we've also tested infant formula and toddler formula, and they're safe. It's really just the unpasteurized products that we're concerned about. So that's number one. Number two is, if you do live in more rural parts of the state or farming parts of the state, certainly if you see dead birds, don't pick up those carcasses. Don't let your dogs or cats get those carcasses. Don't let your kids get them. Leave those dead animals alone. Call Fish and Game or the other public health authority to get those dead birds removed. Don't try to do that yourself.
Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Pate, I want to turn now to the state of California and talk about this tuberculosis outbreak that they've seen and are experiencing in Long Beach, California. So first, tell us what TB is.
Right. So tuberculosis is a disease that's caused by a mycobacterium, a kind of bacteria that you inhale. It's in the circulating air of someone who has been infected, and particularly the highest risk people are people where they've been infected with the bacteria in their lungs. They've developed what we call cavitary lesions, which are little holes in the lungs, and where that communicates with the airways. And so when they breathe or cough, that bacteria can come right back out into the air. And so then what happens is people in the vicinity of that person can breathe it and then become infected. And what we do, you may remember if you're older, you know, being in school and getting the tuberculosis test where they stick the little prongs in your arm to test, or many of you for work, you might have had to have a TB test where we take a syringe and put a little bubble right under your skin to check to see if you react. That's what we're testing for. If somebody's been exposed or infected with tuberculosis, if we realize that early, we can give you a medication for a period of time that generally will cause that bacteria to just be what we call latent. It doesn't cause any damage. It's there, but it's not a problem. The problem is if we don't recognize that, you know, probably more than 10% of those people will go on to at some point develop active disease and can be contagious. And so back when I was in training, I actually trained at a hospital that was a tuberculosis hospital, because tuberculosis used to be a really big problem decades ago. However, public health has had a major victory in this area, and we particularly have a strong program here in Idaho. I want to compliment our Department of Health and Welfare and Dr. Hahn for the great tuberculosis program. But we have, for the past 27 years, continued to see declines in the amount of tuberculosis. What's concerning is we've seen this uptick since 2020 here in the United States, but also across the world.
So, Dr. Pate, this outbreak in Long Beach, officials there say 170 people were exposed. They know 14 people have had TB. One person has actually died from this. With that said, how much does this transmit? I mean, because they did say that this was in a single room occupancy hotel in the city of Long Beach, but, 170 people being exposed, and now there's a state of emergency declared.
Right. Well, you know, Gemma, I keep scratching my head and wondering, first of all, what is the opposition to this? And second, when are we actually going to take action on it? I'm reminded of the days long ago where we didn't have assurances of clean water. And there were various waterborne diseases that plagued the world and our country. And we put in water treatment plants. We have safe water, drinking water, that kind of thing. And now we're faced with the same thing. How many diseases have you and I discussed in the last 4 years that are transmitted in the air? And I keep saying, let's improve indoor air quality. We know how to do that. We know how to adjust ventilation, filtration. We know what to do, but we're not taking those steps. And if we could take those steps in public buildings, in our schools, in other facilities, first of all, that would help for all kinds of infections, but tuberculosis also spreads in the air. Now, the biggest risk groups for tuberculosis. Now, tuberculosis can affect all age groups and all socioeconomic types, but we do see it disproportionately in shelters, in homeless persons, in incarcerated people, in alcoholics, with and other people that don't have great access to healthcare. And in fact, the leading thought as to, well, why are we seeing this increase since 2020 is that it may be pandemic related. It may have been because we had to shift our focus to COVID. It may have been because there was less testing for TB because we were consumed by the pandemic. It could be that people were actually presenting with TB symptoms, but were thinking, okay, this is probably COVID. And so, and that people just couldn't get in for healthcare. So those are all concerns. We know what to do to contain this. The question is our society willing to make those changes in public health? I'm not seeing any signs that we are.
Well, as always, Dr. Pate, we so appreciate you coming on and giving us your perspective on this and the facts as well. Really appreciate your time today.
My pleasure.
We've been talking with Dr. David Pate. He is the former CEO of St. Luke's Health System. Remember, if you have a public health question for Dr. Pate, you can always send us an email, idahomatters@boisestate.edu, and we will ask next week. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.